Did you hear the word of God this morning? It comes to us from Luke's Gospel, 5th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. You may be seated. Did you ever try out for a team and not make it? Have the last shot to win and miss it? Apply for a job and not get it? Get a job and lose it? Start a business and have to close it? Take a class or a test and not pass it? Ask a girl for a date and get turned down? Be in a relationship that ended? Try unsuccessfully to change something in your life? What I'm asking really is, have you ever failed at anything? I mean, if so, join the human race. We all fail fairly often. I mean, it's baseball season, and if you're not a baseball fan, you may not realize that the greatest professional baseball players in history, Hall of Famers, fail 2 out of every 3 times they come to the plate. Bat 333, and you're a Hall of Famer. But that's a lot of failing. The other 666%. I read somewhere that Albert Einstein failed the entrance exam to electrical engineering school. Some people would say Jesus failed, and he managed to get himself killed and had only about 120 people to show for it. Anyone who hasn't failed, in other words, hasn't tried very much. Failing is a normal part of life. And for most of us, because we do it fairly often, it's not that devastating when we do. Some of us might even say, "It was good for me. I learned something. I grew through it." But consequently, have you ever felt like a failure? That's different. Certainly not everyone who fails could be called a failure. I mean, besides, who defines what constitutes being a failure? But many of us, we felt like one, depending on the criteria that we had. And it can be demoralizing, paralyzing, to feel like a failure. I mean, there are some people who are made to feel like a failure or cruelly labeled as one, even though they aren't. Conversely, there are probably some people who, though they appear successful, might very well end up failures. I mean, the Bible is full of stories about people who failed. Among them are some who came to feel for all the world like a failure. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Elijah, Elizabeth, Peter, you name it, they failed. And some found it difficult to overcome. In the story we read this morning, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are fishermen. Professional fishermen, right? They do this for a living. Yet Jesus finds them having fished all night long and caught nothing. In other words, they failed. Now, that's one thing for you and I to go fishing and come home empty-handed, right? Doesn't mean the trip was a failure. We might go for pleasure, just to get away, enjoy the water, nature, the fellowship of who we fish with, at least theoretically. My daddy was a fisherman who fished whether the fish were biting or not. Didn't matter to him. He just liked to fish. I was not like that. I was more like Matt West, one of our young men in our church, who has two little boys, was talking about going out on their boat. Somebody asked Matt, "Do your boys like to fish?" He said, "No, they like to catch." I said, "That was me. I like to catch, not fish." But for the disciples to fish and catch nothing, that's working for free, right? So after a night of fishing in which they failed to catch anything, Jesus, a carpenter turned street preacher, comes along and tells these tired, weary, discouraged professional fishermen how to fish. Though you've already washed your nets and put them up, if you want to catch some fish, why don't you put them back out in the deep water? Oh, right, we didn't think of that. We just fished all night in the shallow water. Never thought if they're not in the shallow water, they might be in the deep water. Jesus, the fish whisperer, right? Little did they know yet that if he could command the winds and the waves, apparently he could command the fish too. Thank goodness they weren't as skeptical as me. They put the nets back out and had a record catch. It seems because failing and the feeling of failure are so common to the human experience that Jesus was often working on people and working with people to overcome it. In this story, for instance, Jesus helps deliver them from failure by asking for their obedience to his instruction. Now, we would assume that Jesus knows nothing in particular about fishing, just as we would assume Jesus knows nothing in particular about law or business or banking or building airplanes. But you know what he does know something about? He knows something about people, about character, about the often paradoxical way that things work in God's economy and God's kingdom. So sometimes if we're experiencing failure, maybe a good place to begin our recovery is asking ourselves, is there something that Jesus is telling me to do that I just hadn't really been willing to do, that I haven't done? I mean, after all, is there anyone with more successful wisdom for living than God who gave us life? I mean, in this case, obedience simply challenges them to persevere. Just put the nets back out again, one more time, even though you've already tried and failed. I mean, perseverance seems logical, but it's not always easy, right? When we failed enough that we start feeling like a failure, it gets really hard to persevere. Particularly if we start feeling responsible for the failure. I read somewhere that Colonel Sanders had 12 jobs and was about 60 years old when the chicken business finally took off. Man, why would you keep on trying one more business, one more thing, no matter how frustrating and discouraging? I mean, one of the virtues Jesus teaches is perseverance. He said something like, "Those who endure to the end will be saved." Persevere. Remember how Paul put it? "Forgetting what is behind, I press on towards what is ahead. I keep trying." Now, I know it's overstating the obvious, but maybe we simply have to begin sometimes in the face of failing by getting up and trying again when it's hard or we're discouraged or we're fearful that I can't bear failing one more time. Remember, too, that when it comes to Jesus' direction, deliverance from failure may sometimes take the form of obedience to something that doesn't make sense, at least from the world's point of view, like putting your nets back out in the same water you've been in all night long. I mentioned before, our oldest daughter works for Chick-fil-A. Now, some people would say it doesn't make sense to close on Sunday. That's when I always want to eat there, don't you? Sometimes we fail because we refuse to apply Jesus' simple instructions about character, integrity, or to be obedient to something even if it doesn't make sense. If we're living in disobedience to God, There's no doubt we'll always be behind the eight ball in one way or the other. I mean, there are simple tests. The Bible talks about one like tithing. Give and it will be given back to you, Jesus said. Simple test of obedience. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, poured out upon you. Or even as he said in Malachi, test me on it. So if I failed, as opposed to being a failure, maybe if I can walk in obedience, even if it doesn't make sense, I'll find myself growing as a disciple. Secondly, so I think we could also say then that sometimes Jesus delivers from failure by allowing us to fail. It's the paradox of the gospel. Some of us need to fail because some of us have been able to scratch out reasonably successful lives by willpower, education, ingenuity, hard work. We are seemingly self-made men and women. Sometimes it may be that only failing could open my eyes to my dependence upon God. It's hard to be thankful for failure, I can tell you. But we can be on the wrong side of the track and can't leave it until we fail. It's why we can get in God's way occasionally by not allowing someone to fail. You ever read that verse in Ecclesiastes 7 that says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider, God has made one as well as the other." Sometimes he allows us to fail for our own good. I mean, could it be that Jesus lets us fail to deliver us from being a failure when it's all said and done? I mean, when we fail, certainly it's a time to examine our lives, our priorities, our calling, not to simply dismiss failing, that God is angry at me, that God doesn't love me. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe God let me fail because he does love me. Maybe he's refocusing me. Because the flip side to this is even success can lead me to failure. I mean, Jesus tells the disciples to put out the nets, and the irony is they caught so many fish, the boat begins to sink. There's something symbolically significant about that, I think. The success that's intended to open their eyes has them on the verge of becoming the thing that sinks them. I wonder how many people have missed the point of their success and sank because of it. The success itself can take our eyes off what's important, off him. You remember Moses trying to warn Israel just before they entered the promised land? After 40 years of wandering and struggling and failing, if you would, they're about to have some success, a lot of success. In fact, Moses says to them, when you get into the land and you have fine houses to live in, and your gold and your silver is multiplied, and your flocks and herds have multiplied, be careful you don't say to yourself, look what we've done. For in your success, you will become a failure, he says. Jesus said, what good is it if a man gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I mean, successes can sink us, sink marriages or families. When we get a taste of success, it's like a drug. We like success. And it can be distracting from what really matters. For the disciples, the real test was not whether or not they put the nets back out in the water. I think the bigger test was when they got back to the dock with two boatloads of fish, whether or not they would leave them at the dock and follow into the life he had for them. Thirdly, it seems that sometimes Jesus delivers from failure by giving us a calling or a vocation, if you would, that will redefine my purpose, redefine my mission in life. Because no matter how successful we are, we can end up a failure if we don't discover what is God's purpose for my life. We spent a lot of time this summer talking about that. And to live that out, the disciples were invited to a new sense of purpose, to be fishers of men. Now, I've talked often before about the difference in being driven and being called, which oftentimes is related to a sense of occupation versus a vocation, work versus calling. When Peter had an occupation as a fisherman, my guess is he was pretty driven. You can look at his personality throughout his life with Jesus. He always wanted to be successful. more so than everybody else. Jesus came to give them a call to reorient their way of thinking about what they did with their life and their work. Answering that call doesn't necessarily mean we have to change what we do, where I work, what my skills are used for. God is wise enough to capitalize on our giftedness where we are. Sometimes He just changes the mission or the goal of the focus where we are. From now on, they're going to be fishing. They'll just change the focus. Fishing for people. I know I've told you before about my old friend Ed Cato. Ed is well into his 90s now. Started Mission on the Move. One of our worshipers just got back from Tapachula in a week with Mission on the Move. They do work in Honduras and southern Mexico. Ed, I think I've told you a story, forgive me if you remember it. Ed, one of his biggest supporters, was a really successful businessman. And he came to Ed one day and said, "I think I'm going to shut my business down and go into the mission field." Ed's response was, tongue-in-cheek a bit, but not really. "Anybody can go in the mission field. Not anybody can make money. Your calling is to make money." What he did was give the man a reoriented sense of his vocation, his success, and how God could use that success. Jesus gave the disciples a sense of higher purpose in what they already were doing, significance to deliver them from being successful failures. His call may not ask me to quit my job, but it may make me see how my job can be my ministry, or a parallel career with my job that can give me some purpose. Lastly, the last way to talk about Jesus' deliverance from failure, not everybody's feeling of failure is work or career oriented. It's just in America we tie so much of our identity to what we do. We mostly measure our success or our failure that way. But the reality is, there are probably more of us who feel at times like failures because of other areas of our life than our work. Work is almost always the last thing to go when we're starting to fail in some way. We live in a culture in which so many of our relationships, our marriages, fail. And so many people have to deal with, what does that mean for me? How many parents feel like a failure at times because our children make bad decisions that we felt like we should have been able to control or change? How many of us have gotten lost along the way in some sin, some immoral choice, and we feel like we're failures to God because of it? We're supposed to be following Him, and we fall into something. That means that one of the primary ways that Jesus delivers us from failure is by forgiveness and acceptance. When Jesus gets into the boat that day, the nets are full, and Peter cries out, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." You see, there are some experiences of failure that drive me to God for help. And there are some experiences of failure that drive me away from Him for shame. It would not be the last time that Jesus would have to rescue Peter for a sense of failure by forgiving him and accepting it. That day, instead of calling attention to Peter's sense of sinfulness, he says, "I choose you. Peter the sinner will be the rock on which I will build my church." I mean, some of us at times can be ashamed to be near Jesus, and consequently we can begin to fail in our spiritual lives because we feel like we're failures to God already. What we really need to hear is what He's always saying to us. "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, maybe the burdens of our failure, and I will welcome you and I will give you rest." We see it over and over in Jesus' ministry. A woman caught in adultery. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, hiding in a tree. Jesus loves and accepts us where we are. He doesn't really care about our past as much as He cares about our future. He doesn't look to what we've done or how we failed as much as He does what we can become and how He can help us succeed in what He made us to be. And if we answer, and if we draw near, He'll always take us as we are. He just won't leave us that way. Because in His eyes, though we might see ourselves failing, He never sees us as a failure. So He wants us to deliver us from that, because in the end, He is the only one who can measure our lives as successful or failing. The only criteria maybe for Him is whether or not we answered a call to follow, submitted our lives to the transforming power of His Holy Spirit, fulfilled our calling. Anybody here feel like you're failing in some area of your life? Anybody struggling with feeling like a failure? Relationally? Occupationally? Spiritually? Want to be delivered? We just have to listen. Listen to Jesus, not the world, not their measure of what is success or failure. And we will hear, "Come follow me, and I will set you free to rise to your potential, to fulfill your calling, to be delivered from your failure."